Praise the Lord. And pass the ammunition. All right. Hey, Stanley, can you do me a favor, buddy? Oh, you know what? You know what? I don't need it anymore. I just remembered that. Yeah, you're good. All right. Good morning, everybody. You made it. Mm-hmm. We have got so much going on every day. It is just amazing. And Lord, I just want to take, I just feel led that we're just going to stop and we're just going to pray again right now. Lord, we ask you to strengthen every believer here in the name and power of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would strengthen their innermost being, that they would know you, that they would be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that they would be protected. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who are not here, who the enemy's just tricked or caused to stumble or whatever it is, Lord. He's always working. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would just clear those dark, gloomy clouds, Lord. Push back anything or anyone who's just causing that discouragement or condemnation or guilt. Push them back and let them just see you clearly. Look up at the light, Lord. Push back those dark clouds and see you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We want to honor you. We want to bless your name, Lord God. Help us to honor you with the life lived fully for you, Lord. Teach us your word, Lord, that would it be part of our lives, Lord God, that it would be evident who we serve, Lord. We love you and we thank you and we pray a blessing on this time and the rest of the day. In Jesus Christ's name alone, amen, amen, and amen. So very glad you guys are here. Okay, oh, I forgot. Oh, look at this. Okay, so we have a few things to go over and we'll see if this will work. As we still work through our technical difficulties, please stand by. I wonder if that was me. Okay, so yes, so we have tons of bread back there. You guys already know, tons of loaves. Please take them in Jesus' name. And some of you guys are so sweet that you just want to take, you know, one loaf home with. Don't do that. Because then what happens is, as everybody's cleaning up, like, much later, Isabel says, okay, put the two loaves, the big bag of loaves of bread in Pastor Darren's car. And then what happens is, what happened to me this week is, As I'm noticing as the week goes on, just my car just stinks, you know, and I'm doing so many things, you know, and I go last night to open the trunk and in fact, there's a monstrous bag of bread that's been sitting there for a while. So we just be encouraged. We threw that one out. You have the fresh stuff from last night. But take as much as you want, give it to your friends, give it to your neighbors, bless them. But when you do it, just give it to them in Jesus' name, as a gift in Jesus' name. Always point them back to him, right? Amen? Okay, all right. So we do not take up tithes and offerings. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated into giving, but you should give. And there's a little tithe box, bird box back in the back. And you're welcome to put your tithes and offerings there. We would like to take a minute and welcome back Lester and Peggy. Woo! You guys want to come up for a minute? In fact, I shouldn't say do you. I know you do. I'm gonna hot mic this one. Are we okay? All right. So after 45 years in the mission field, do you think you can just come in here? I'm sorry, 48? I stand corrected.
Yes, Lester and Peggy and Kadiki. Okay. Now, Kadiki in the Shona language means small or little. Okay? So that's her name. Now, hey, it is so good to be back. And not only back, but back to stay.
Selfishly.
The Lord worked an absolute miracle because We had our house for sale for quite a while, but the situation being what it is, you can't just, I mean, if I want the money in the United States, of course, which I did, I would require exchange control approval. And cash-strapped Zimbabwe wants as much foreign currency in the country as they can get. So they say, no, you bring the money in here, and then we'll release it to go back out again. Never happened. So, but situation is that Zimbabwe, the catchment area for the hydroelectric plant, had very, very poor rainy season. In fact, the prediction is that by the end of next month, there will be no electricity in the country. Okay, at the moment, the electricity comes on at 11 o'clock at night and goes off again at 4 o'clock in the morning. So you can imagine what the production sector is doing. Okay? And inflation and fuel queues, miles long, and et cetera, et cetera. And, but still, lights come on. Wow.
Electricity.
And anyway, we continue to stand in faith. And there is someone came and they said, look, I want to buy a country, a company. They're ex-Zimbabweans. They taught for 25 years in a school in England. So they have foreign currency. And so they bought a fishing company in our town. And they say, now we need a house to live in. They saw our house and say, we want it. And exchange control says, fine, you can send your money straight from London to our account in America. And so that's in that economic situation, they came back to Zimbabwe. So we're rejoicing. So we move out of our house, go to Harare, preparing to go to a travel agent, booked our flights for the 8th of August. And then we go to cargo because we're taking our daughter. Those who are grandparents and your families have left home, you understand, okay. Now, so then, right, so we take her to cargo and we book her in, and Peggy picks up the story from there.
Well, we were to leave on the 8th of August. We actually didn't leave until the 13th. We took our dog to cargo, finished up the paperwork, the last that we had to do, and there was this big gentleman standing behind us waiting to be served at cargo. Now, at cargo, he could have gone anywhere on any other plane or anything, and he saw us, and he thought Kadiki was a cute little dog. So we finished up, went around, went to cargo where they're going to handle her, checked the cage. Everything was fine. They went through the checklist. They checked the cage. They put her in. And we saw them carrying her off. And so then we went to the airport.
And they, for security, they wrapped our suitcases in cling wrap, okay? And we checked through customs and immigration, went to the departure lounge, and waited for a while, and we saw the South African Airways flight come in. So someone says, okay, our gate's going to be gate number 3. So we move on down to gate number 3. And no sooner get there, and someone starts shouting, there's a dog running on the runway. And that only one other person who knew that that dog belonged to us was at that gate. And he saw me, and he says, sir, that's your dog. I saw it at cargo. She's out of the cage. She's running on the runway. I thought, couldn't be. And I look, and there she goes, being chased by 4 Africans trying to catch her. Now, if anyone knows a Jack Russell, even though their legs are short, they are fast and they run. So we then start running as well. We ran toward the exit, And security officer was there and says, no, you can't go out there. This is restricted area. And we said, that's our dog. She's running on the runway. We must go. You can't go. You can't go. Anyway.
While she's running towards the runway to a British Airways flight coming in. And they formed an oval like this so that she wouldn't keep running towards the plane. So she turned and ran back towards the airport and went through a building and out to a construction site. The security lady there says, you cannot go out. And I kept yelling, but that's my dog. And I'm going after my dog. So she headed downstairs to get security, and we followed. And while we were down, I said, I got to get out. You're not allowed to go out there. It's a restricted area. But the door opened, and I took advantage of that door. And now I've got Lester behind me. I've got security chasing us. We go out. We go through this place and big construction area in the back. And there's big pipes, maybe 50, 60 pipes. And I'm down looking at every pipe to see if she's hiding. There were bricks. There was construction. There was wood. Called till I was absolutely hoarse. And after a half hour of looking and looking and looking for her, Lester said, Peggy, I got to go back. Our laptops, our coats, everything are just sitting up there. People are boarding the plane. And so I continued looking, and he went back into the departure lounge.
And so they said, look, are you going to go on the flight or not? And I said, I am not going without my dog and without my wife. So they said, okay, then we've got to get your luggage back off of the airplane, in which they did. And then I was escorted back out, had my passport stamped. I was legally back in the country. Okay. But meanwhile,
I'm still looking.
Peggy is still looking. And she saw a gate open and someone told her, hey, I think the dog went out through there.
So 2.5 hours later, still no dog. And we were becoming very anxious that we had actually lost our dog forever. I'm praying out loud. Finally, security just leave me. They see that I'm going to be harmless. And I'm looking for my dog. I went into the hangars. I went into other areas, restricted areas. I knocked on doors that where she could have crawled under. Then I went out this gate, and I'm looking all in this area. And finally, after 2.5 hours, a vehicle comes and gets me. They said, we think we saw her. She's 2 miles away from the airport. And they said, but she'll just keep running. Get in the vehicle with us, and we'll go see if we can find her. So I get in the vehicle, and we're driving and driving. And finally, I see this long dirt road, but it's got a locked gate. And it would have been another 5 minutes, Kadiki would have been completely into the bush, and we probably would have never seen her again. And so we stopped the vehicle, and I ran because she would just keep running from everybody else. And I knelt down, and I called her. She stopped, and those little legs came running back so fast, and we embraced each other. And I'm thanking God and praising God. I'm crying, and I'm thanking him that he's brought our dog back to us. I borrowed a phone, and I called Lester, and I said, I'm holding her. I've got her. And I could hear in his voice just thanking God and saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So it took me a while to get back to Lester.
So meanwhile then, cargo came, and they said, look, where are you spending the night? We'll take you. So obviously, I had to book in with some pastor friend of ours, and said, we'll collect you again tomorrow morning at 9:30, and then we're going to talk about from here, you know, as to whose responsibility. Please bring your cage. We brought the cage, and they at the meeting then, they inspected the cage because they thought it was faulty. That's why the dog got out. They confirmed that it wasn't faulty. We looked at surveillance videos and again confirmed that it was their responsibility. So
that night.
But meanwhile that night, I was thinking, I got stamped back into Zimbabwe, but I have an illegal immigrant on my hands. So she went out the other way and never got stamped back in. So anyway, so that was something also that we needed to take care of the next day.
So now I know what it is to be an illegal immigrant. But anyhow, we went there with our cage. We proved to them that the cage was sound. We watched the surveillance videos very clearly. Somebody had obviously opened the cage and did not lock it properly until it clicks, because it's a very special AITA cage. But while they were debating how much or what they were going to do about reflying us, Lester decided that we better go back to the airport and see what he can do with me as an illegal immigrant.
So I walk up to the arrivals and big sign there, no entry. But as I walk in, the security girl, young lady, she looks up and she says, no, no, no. And then she looks and she sees Peggy holding Kadiki. And she jumped up from her chair and gave Peggy a big hug and says, you found her, you found your dog. And it was the exact same security lady that said, you can't go out there, okay? So she said, don't worry. Look, I know the story. I'll go to immigration and I'll make sure that, I'll explain everything, make sure that you get your passport stamped again.
So I did. Got my passport stamped on the 9th, that I actually returned on the 8th. And God was good. You know, there's a lot of reasons you might say why this happened. Why did it have to happen? There are several other things we could tell you that took place, but one thing that stood out to me was this. A guy came in to the cargo office, and he said, I'm the man who saw your dog out there. And he said, I heard you. And I said, what do you mean, you heard me? He said, I heard you. I'm the man that was sitting beside you in the vehicle. And he said, I heard you praying. I heard you calling on God, asking, please, Lord, be merciful. Bring our dog back to us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our dog back to us. And I was crying out to God. And he said this to me. He said, I now realize that God answers prayer. And I said, sir, if you will open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will always hear your prayers. And so I thank the Lord for the opportunity I had in that office to be able to share Jesus. Just as we're getting ready to leave Zimbabwe, again, the Lord opens a beautiful opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. And so Kadiki had a purpose in getting gone. We'd like to thank all of you for the prayers that you have given to us. I thank you this morning for the welcome that so many people walked up and welcomed us. We are thank you for your love gift, the groceries that have been already put in the house for us. We truly thank you with all of our hearts, and it's good to be back.
To make a long story short, the meeting started at 9:30 with cargo. Finally, at 6 o'clock that evening, they said, okay, we take responsibility. We'll buy you new tickets. yeah. We started our choruses with Mighty to Save. Hey, the Lord's not just mighty to save us from our sins. But the scripture in Psalm 138, verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect or will perform that which concerns me. So it's something that's a concern to us. The Lord says, yes, hey, I'll look after that as well. And it goes on to say, thy mercy endureth forever. You know, I shudder to think, what would have happened? We would have arrived at Washington and gone to cargo to pick up our dog. And they said, what dog? You know? But God, who is rich in mercy for that which concerns us. We were ministering to a young lady over in Zimbabwe, and she came to our house one day and she says, I believe the Lord gave me a scripture. And Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. And that scripture then came alive to us as well, so much so that Peggy put it to music. And we'd like to sing that scripture to it this morning.
Okay. I'm sending an angel ahead of you. I'm sending an angel to guard you, to take you to that place prepared by my grace. I'm sending an angel ahead of you. Sending an angel ahead of you.
The scripture, that angel was a capital A, so that means it's a theophany, or a Christophany rather, and that means that Jesus going ahead of us, going before us, and being our rear guard and going with us. Amen. Each and every one of us. God bless you.
Now I would like to sing a little song. Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. No, we all know that's not going to happen. But I think we have someone new for the worship team there, Nate. I'm just saying. And, okay, I know that now that you're finally back and now you can totally relax, maybe next month I'm going to be away for a few weeks in Israel. And so maybe you might want to take a Sunday and teach. Would anybody else like that, do you think? Just, there's no, whatever the Lord leads. I know he's thinking, I just want to rest. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, so we are so grateful you're back, and we just want to welcome you home, and we love you. So that's the truth in Jesus' name. Also, quick couple, I'm going to zip through these announcements now, and we'll just see. Some of my family went to go see Overcomer. It's in the theaters right now. It's at the Hollywood 20 right down here by... on State Road 70. Oh, it's not the Hollywood 20. AMC 20. Yeah, it's also at the Oakmont 8. Anyway, I had some of my family see it, and it was a really good movie. It's the same folks that did War Room, if you remember that movie. And so if you want to support that, fantastic. It's all about, I won't even tell you what it's about. I would just encourage you to go see it. I got thumbs up from the entire family. So Overcomer playing in theaters right now. Would encourage you guys to see it. Also, we have a baptism today, and we're going to do that in the pool. Again, I know we just had one, but we're doing another one today. Now listen, I want you to really be in prayer for those who are getting baptized. Somebody came to me today. They're very young in the Lord. And so I want you to think about this for one second. Somebody, one of my kids said, how many people are getting baptized? And I said, you know what, son? I do not know for sure. Because here's, you are always welcome to be baptized, sweetie. So here's the deal. I said, I never know, because to be honest, the enemy, when you're young in the Lord or you're just coming to get baptized, the enemy tries to throw everything he can, right? To trip you up, to have you fall right on your face. There'll be a huge argument. The enemy will use unbelievers, weak, immature believers, condemnation, work, job, law, everything you think about. And then as soon as they get baptized, what he wants to do is keep you out of fellowship. Keep you out of Bible study. You're going to get a promotion at work. You're going to get the job on Sunday. You're going to get the have to work the evenings on the Bible study night. You're not going to be able to find the ride, whatever it is. That's when it's most important. So I want you to pray. I don't know for sure. I haven't even looked to see all who's here. I know there's a few people who are here that are going to get baptized. And it's been awesome to see what God's doing in their lives. And so I just want you to pray for them, and also pray, especially afterwards, that God would continue to root and to ground them in Christ Jesus and in the Word of God, so that they can be strength. They wouldn't be blown around, that they'd be well-rooted. And so please continue to pray for those who have been baptized and for those who are being baptized. But after church today, if you'd like to come over to our house, we're having an exquisite meal of hot dogs. Tuesday. Yeah, hot dogs, and then we're just going to baptize some folks in the pool, and people have been in tears in Bible studies, just wanting to be baptized, saying God's put this on our hearts. Folks that have been just watching what God's doing in them for the last couple months has been amazing. You know, another man, I'm just been coming to our men's Bible study for probably about a good year, maybe two. And now he's given his heart over to Jesus Christ and he wants to be baptized. So proud of him. And so we just want to support him. So anybody is welcome. I don't know if there's going to be 5 people or 55 or 105. I never know. But ask my wife. Hopefully she's here. If you want to know how to get to our house, everybody's going to. Or Gary. Gary knows. Rebecca. Just you're welcome to come afterwards. It's right after church. Okay. And if anybody else wants to get baptized, grab Gary after church today. Grab him. Wrestle him down and say, I want to get baptized. He'll talk to you about that. Make sure you know what you're doing. And we would do that. We have prayer Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. If you're a prayer warrior, please, please join us. Gary leads that. Please see him. We would love for you to come out and to be a part of that prayer team. Men's Bible studies again, first and third Tuesdays, 6 p.m. dinner, 6:30 Bible study. And that is going through 1 Corinthians. We also have the Women's Bible Study. Erica Weaver is leading that on the second and third Tuesdays here at Home Fellowship Church. Is this Tuesday women's or women's? Yes. Man, the days are just talking about peace. Ah, peace that transcends all understanding. Yes. Whatever is going on, his peace. That's right, Tate. Wah. Whosoever's youth group, yes, here. We had a pool party last week. You know what I'm realizing? It's too small. We had 20 kids. Now, when they were smaller, it was a lot of fun. They're all huge now. So they're all wrestling. And I'm like, it looked like I put them in one of those little plastic kiddie pools. We have to find a bigger condo pool or something. We're fine. But thank you for everybody who supported that. This Wednesday's baseball. Okay, so if you signed up for that at McKechnie Field. Okay, all right, so just take them to the bat, they'll trade it for that night, okay. Okay, so that's this Wednesday, okay, gotcha. 10-4, Share Jesus Without Fear is on Thursday night, 6:30 to 8. We're almost done with that class. It's been a fantastic class, we got like one or two more. Now we're starting another Experiencing God course. Gary, do you mind if I skip the video? Maybe we can do that next week. Is that okay? But I want to tell you, this is a fantastic discipleship course. If you have not taken this course, we just had it. We usually only do it once a year. We want to encourage you. It's $20 for the workbooks. It's at least 14 weeks as the Spirit leads. It might go a little bit. It's going to be from 10 to 12. And you can invite your friends. You can invite someone also to come. And if you don't have the $20 and you just want to grow in the Lord, do you know what? We're not a rich church. Well, we are in the Lord, but we're not rich monetarily. But you know what? We'll pay for it as a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to grow and be strengthened in the Lord. Okay? I'm telling you, I would almost say cut out whatever you have to. Saturdays 10 to 12. We've never done it on a Saturday before, but there you go. This is probably the most important course, I would tell you. Maybe we could even do testimonies next week, and we'll show a video. Yes, I see a hand raised, and I need Sophie. Where are you? Are you here?
They're not here.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
What is the age range? Is it adults only, or?
Okay, that's a great question. You know what? It depends on your heart for the Lord. If you're wanting to come and grow in the Lord, we had little Isabel, who's, mom just passed away here, and we had a funeral. There was a funeral service this Saturday, too, along with, anyway, I shouldn't get into that. The bottom line is, she's about 13, 12, 13, but her heart was into it. Her heart was in the Lord. There was Olivia, you are like 18 now, 14, 15, something like that. Anyway. Olivia, so yes, as long as you have a heart for the Lord, she took it last time. What would you say about that? Can you pass her the mic? I know I'm throwing her under the bus, but here you have, what would you even say about that course, what that did for your walk with the Lord?
Well, I would say it is a lot of work, like you have to spend time, but honestly, I learned so much about the Lord and just, it, like, I, in the beginning, it was, like, hard, and I'm like, okay, I have to do this. But by the end, it was just like, I want to get that time and spend that time in the course. So if you, you'd learn a lot about God and stuff.
Awesome. That's great. And it is a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. You're probably looking at half hour, hour of work at least every day, 5 days a week. So, but everything else, I'm telling you, this is probably the best course you could take, other than just going straight to the Word and doing that. Sign up sheet somewhere on the table. Laura, okay, back there somewhere. Okay, Jen has it. All right. So we would encourage you to do that. Okay, Shepherd's Hut Christian School, you know that. We are in the book of James. James chapter 5. We are closing out this wonderful book, the Gatling gun of the Bible, one command imperative after another. I can tell you we're probably going to get through maybe two verses. But it's all worth it. Okay, we've been having some technical difficulties, if you remember, because a lot of our stuff got hit by lightning. And so the first part of James chapter 5, you know, he was talking about those folks who were not believers, who were coming, and just the rich folks that were just coming and focusing on wealth, if you remember that, you know, and focusing on money and hoarding their wealth and ripping off people. And God had some strong, strong words for all of us who are focused on wealth, if you remember that. You know, the Bible talks about, in James, you know, the love of money, not money. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Could you hit those lights for a second, Elijah? Thanks. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that is so true. You know, the Bible says, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world except lose your soul? What is it? So you have that prestige. So you have that power. So you have that whatever. What does it matter if you don't have Jesus? Listen, if you have Jesus, you have everything, because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and you will get to be with him forever. That's nothing is more valuable than him, right? And it says in the scriptures that those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Listen, money makes an excellent servant. Especially if you're a believer, an excellent servant. Use it for the Lord if you got it. But it makes a terrible master. Does that make sense? I'm going to show, we said we were going to show you a clip a couple weeks ago. And we're going to do it, Lord willing. All right, George. This was from a couple weeks ago. That's why I'm showing it, a little illustration. Okay.
Hebrew from the Talmud, it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire. Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did. who did so much.
This car. Gert would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person, Stan. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't. And I didn't.
Now that, to me, is a powerful illustration. Oscar Schindler, if you remember from Schindler's List, is based on a true story. And he had built a, I'm trying to remember now, it's been a while, like an ironworks plant, a munitions plant and for the Nazis. And he used Jewish slave labor to make their money. And then he realized what the Nazis were doing. And then as they were sending them to the deaths, to millions, and then he just started selling everything he could, trying to sneak as many out, and he saved about 1,100 people. You know, and what a powerful illustration that is to me. God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you whatever he's given you. Use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is going to burn. Everything is going to fade away. Use what you have to bring to the Lord. You will never regret. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to regret the time you spent helping another believer, encourage them. You're never going to regret the extra check that you gave to help missionaries or to help. And we don't make a big deal about all these things that we're doing. You know, Peggy and Lester, we're so happy to be able to bless you with that stuff. We don't talk about it a lot because it's all going for the Lord. But you know what? You're never going to regret that when you stand before the Lord. Invest it in him. Yes, I see a question back there. And so we'll give you the microphone, sorry.
Mark and I are very interested, I guess, in the International Federation of Christians and Jews. And it has, they send out a list of their supporters around the world. And Oscar Schindler's name was one of the first ones on the list. Yeah. He was an amazing man.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, too, the Bible says, of course, you guys already know this in Timothy, you know, those who are rich in this world, you know, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust their money, which is unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. This is the Living Bible. I love how it puts that. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Isn't that true? All right. Did you hit the lights for a second, Elijah? Thanks. The next section we talked about was patience and suffering. You remember that in the next verses in chapter 5. It says, be patient then. We talked earlier in James about being patient in trials and situations. And then it talked about, in these verses here, it says patience and suffering, about being patient then with your brothers, makrothumeo, It means being patient with people, being long-suffering. Listen, we can be such self-centered little snots and think the world revolves around us, and we're complaining about our brothers and sisters, about our parents, about our kids, about our... Listen, don't do that about your brothers. He wants us to be patient, long-suffering with them. It's a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's a sign of maturity in your life when you're patient with others, right? We need to ask him to help him with that. He said, remember the farmer. And we went through all that, and you didn't get to see all these slides because our slide thing didn't work. So you're going to miss them all. We're going to zip right through them. All right, so give me just a second. Oh, that was a good one. I spent a lot of time on those slides, but that's right. The Lord had a different... thanks. Oh, that was a lot of stuff there. Should I say that one thing? Okay, I'm just going to say this one thing. Hit that light. Okay. Okay, when we think about it too, okay, I'm just saying, just one quick thing, just one thing, because I couldn't remember all this. Okay, and when we think about it, you know, this patient waiting and this need for endurance that we have in the Christian life is much like the waiting of the farmer, okay, right? Just like the illustration that God gave us. You know, he waits with a hope and expectation of reward. He waits for a long time. He waits while working the entire time, just like we should be doing. He waits depending on things out of his power. With his eye on the heavens. He waits despite changing circumstances and uncertainties patiently. He waits encouraged by the value of the harvest. He waits encouraged by the hard work and the harvest of others who have gone before and been a witness to him of that. He waits because it's detrimental to him to quit and to give up. He waits aware of how the seasons work. He waits because as time goes on, it becomes more and more important to do so, not less and less. And he waits understanding the value of the harvest. The older I get, the more I start to realize, oh my goodness, I'm wasting so much time even now. Okay, I put in like 17, 18 hours yesterday, and I wish I could do more. I wish I could prepare more after the memorial service. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Laura, you honored your dad so beautifully. Marcia, you honored your husband so beautifully. And I thought, at about 18 hours, about 12:30, I was trying to type stuff in, and my wife was just sitting there, honey, I think you need to go to bed. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And I like fell asleep almost like sitting up, and she like grabbed me. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe I should go to bed. And there's so much more we could be doing, investing in. Think about it. Ask God, what is he wanting you to do with your time, with your talents, with your gifts? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. And the Bible says, let us not grow weary in doing good. It says, at the proper season, at the proper time, we shall reap a harvest if, what? If we don't give up. All right, so then I'm going to go through all this. Okay, so this is where we left off. And you don't have to worry about getting even with people or whatever. The wicked won't go unpunished. The righteous will go free. Proverbs 11:21. Okay, sorry, let me zip through this. Oh, I still want to do it. Talked about Job. All right. Wow. Okay, and we talked about, that's where we left off, making oaths, okay? That's where we left off. All right, so excuse me just one second. And we talked about God just wants our yes to be yes and our no be no. All right. So this next section, if you can hit the light just for a sec, is on prayer, okay? And this next section, verse 13, chapter 5 of James, verse 13. I'm just going to, God has so much to say on prayer. Actually, when I was trying to type this up, I don't know if I was just so tired, but I was overwhelmed because there was so much important stuff here. There were so many things that and it's caused so much angst in people and damage in people. This wrong teaching on prayer and on healing and this kind of stuff. There's so much to say, but here's a couple things that we need to know about prayer. And I love how the New Living Translation says Psalm 116, verse 2. It says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. And I don't know about you, but when I picture that, here's the creator of the universe, the king of all creation, right? He doesn't have to take the time to talk with us or to listen to us. Do you know what I'm saying? Yet, he wants to. He loves you enough that he says, I want to talk to you. because he bends down to listen. You know what I always love when I see a dad or mom do? And I don't know if this is just me, but I really love it when a mom or dad just gets down on their knees. They bend down and they look them in the eye and they speak to them and they say, I love you, kid. It shows that they're taking the extra time. And it's personal. Your heavenly Father is making it personal. He's bending down. He's seeing, look, with all of the billions of people, I care about you personally. Why would, and yet so many people, they're not talking to the Lord. They're not listening to the Lord. That and you're missing out. Now, God still loves you, but you're missing out. In fact, Colossians 4:2 says this, as a Christian, if you're giving yourself up over to the Lord, the Bible says devote yourselves to prayer and be watchful and be thankful. That's the heart of a Christian. It's a personal relationship with him, right? I can honestly say I love my wife, I love my kids, I love a lot of you guys. I said a lot, but a couple of you. No, I love all you guys, but you know, some I know more. But, you know, Jesus is my best friend. Now, that probably might freak some of you out if you're, like, new and you're not trying, you know. What do you mean? Oh, I know him personally. I love him. We talk every day. And not just I talk. He talks. Yeah. That's the relationship he wants to have with you. It's an amazing thing. Listen to this. It's supposed to be so ingrained in our lives, and I want to encourage you to do that. Martin Luther said something wonderful. Hit the light. Oh, Nehemiah, thanks. Mr. Crispy in here, he said he wasn't going to be here today. He said, to be a Christian without prayer, right, is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. That's how a part of our life is supposed to be. Listen to this. This is Jonathan Edwards who said this. He was he was kind of like if you know who Ravi Zachariah is, he was like the Ravi Zachariah of the 1700s, okay? Kind of this preacher and philosopher all in one. He says, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is to life. Okay? And I like Corrie ten Boom. She actually was in a concentration camp. Her sister died in a concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom was a Christian, loves the Lord. Says, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. And when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Listen, that prayer is the key that unlocks the door. Okay? It says this. Let me read verse 1. All right? Verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 13. Our first verse. Okay? It says this. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Okay? So, is any one of you in trouble? No. No? Well, you know what? You might not be in trouble right now. But many of us, let's just be honest, we got trouble with the capital T. You guys remember Mr. T? Okay. I pity the fool that don't know. You know, anyway, if you don't have trouble in your life, let me just say praise the Lord right now. Can I just say that to you? Praise the Lord. You rejoice in that. You thank him. It's a wonderful time. But you're either just coming out of it or just going into it. Because God uses these trials, these troubles, these tribulations in our life to mature us, to stretch us, to grow us as we trust in him. So the first thing he's saying is, I want you to pray. F. Meyer said something. The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Do you understand that? Like sometimes, and I don't know if sometimes prayer is like the last thing. Well, I'm trying this and I'm trying that and I'm trying this and I've done this and I've gone there and I've... Have you really sat and prayed about it? no, I got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to condition ourselves. And sometimes trouble will do that. That should be the first thing a Christian does, is go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I'm praying to him all the time. Well, does that make you weak? You can say whatever you want. Let me tell you that in my weakness, that makes me strong. I have a friend. I talked to him last week. And just asked him if we could stop and pray for him. He's going to go through something. And I love this guy. And he's like, you know, I'm just a little uncomfortable. You know, ask him for prayer. And I was like, oh, come on. I'm like, okay, can I just pray for you? Well, okay. Now, and I think, oh man, he's missing so much of the blessing. Me, I'm like, if you don't know who to pray for, pick me. I'm happy to receive it. But I'm guessing there's lots of other folks around you that need prayer. Humble yourselves. Can I just ask a question? Because people like that, sometimes we think we're too strong, whatever. Well, you know, I don't want to ask for prayer. You know what? Pray. Let's just be honest. We're a very real church here. How many people here would say need prayer? Raise your hands. Look around you. Don't be shy. You get it? When we're in trouble, we need to pray. It needs to be one of the first things we do. Listen, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask. Ask. He's inviting you to pray. The King of the universe, again, the creator of all things, is saying, look, you're important to me. I'm pursuing you. I'm asking you. Will you please pray? Ask me. I'd be like, what? You're kidding? He loves me that much? Brad, he's like, ask. Go ahead. Come on. Do it. Well, I don't, you're too busy, God. I'm too, you know, whatever excuse. Well, I don't, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He's not going to force you. Do you know what I mean? Your God's not like that. He's not going to force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to get baptized. He's not going to force you to pray. You know what I'm saying? Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open, God's word says. Do it. Look, you guys remember back in James chapter 4, we just did it a few weeks ago, probably a few months ago, all the way back in first part of James chapter 4. Woo! Okay. It says this in verses 2 and 3. It says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You're trying to do it on your own. And then it says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. It says, you want only what will give you pleasure. Your motives, your heart's wrong in it. So God wants us to ask. Listen, if you are in Christ, you can come boldly before him. If you're his child, we have a little lovely little girl here who is, it was her birthday, and she's dressed as a princess. Very nice, very nice. Very beautiful, yes, thank you. Now, can I tell you something? I said, oh, we have, when I got here, I said, we have a prince, even has a little crown now. We'll get our crowns later from the Lord after we go to be with him, So we have a little princess here, and I said, oh, we have royalty with us. Wow. That, I didn't know. I would have dressed nicer, you know. And then a mom just said, yeah, we have very nicely. Like, thank you for coming right up here as an illustration. So I said, we have royalty with us. And mom said, yes, we have a daughter of the king. And that's really true, isn't it? Thank you. You did great. So too are you if you are a child of the living God. You are his kid. You are his child. Wow. The Bible says this in Hebrews 4:16, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what? I want to say, my kids are very respectful, generally speaking. Not always. They are sinners. But generally speaking, they're very respectful. Okay? Can we get this? But can I tell you, sometimes, as a parent, as a dad, you know, especially when they're younger, there's not a lot of privacy. All of a sudden, you know, you're in the bedroom, all of a sudden the door flings open. Hey, Dad, you know, can I just ask you, Mose? Knock first. Maybe that's why I got, ask, seek, knock. Knock first, honey. And, okay, you don't want to see, anyway. Dad, but anyway. But the bottom line is, right, they just come in. That's what God's like, just, hey, the door is open. Come on in. Go boldly before the throne of gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need us the most. That grace is the power. It's his unmerited favor. He's saying, come to me. That's awesome. He wants you to. He's asking you to. What? We'll never catch him off guard. That's right. Not that I'm doing anything bad. I just meant, like, you know, if I'm getting dressed or something. Anyway, you get the idea. I didn't want to give you that visually either. Okay, whatever. We're moving on. It says in there, it says, is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Listen, the Bible says this. Is anyone in trouble, he should pray. Look, the Bible says in Psalm 50:15, call on me in the day of trouble. Listen, that's one of the phone numbers for God. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you. And you will honor me. You can call on him. That could be, yes. Oh, did you, I didn't know if you were like saying hallelujah or if you're saying you want to say something. Okay, would you please bring that young man the mic real quick? Thanks so much. I mean, yeah. The truth hurts, they say.
Wow.
Speaking the truth in love.
That is not just a regular phone number. That's the emergency 911 phone number. That phone number is never busy. He waits and he picks it up before it rings. But when he says, call on me in your time of trouble, he is not kidding. And I will deliver you and you will honor me. Yes. Why don't we just give him a chance and honor him and give him a chance to deliver us from that trouble? Give him a chance when we call on him.
Yes.
Take him at his word.
Yes. There's another verse in Jeremiah, I think it's 33:3, going from memory now. Okay? That's his other number. Maybe it's 333, but I think it's 33:3. It says, call on me, and I will answer you, and I will teach you and show you great unsearchable things that you don't know. If you're overwhelmed, if you're anxious, if you're, call on him. He says again, call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and searchable things you don't know. Now listen, we're so now people, we think, well, that it hasn't happened. You know, I don't have a watch on today anyway. Oh, hey. Anyway, sometimes that takes time. But call on him. It says in Psalm 138:3, in the day when I cried out to you, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Listen, some of you wouldn't even be here today without the Lord's help. The Lord didn't really help me. I called out to him. Listen, you might have drowned right then. I'm not kidding you. Listen to this next verse. This is in Psalm 18:6. He says, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried to God for my help. And what does it say? From his temple, he says, he what? My cry came before his ears. It's Psalm 18:6. And then it says in 18:16, this next part, he reached down from heaven and he rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. I remember one time our kid was really little, one of our kids, and they just were by the pool, you know, and they weren't paying attention. When they're really down, in they went, down they went. And I just, you know, you reach in there and you just grab them, you know, oh my, you know, everybody's freaking out, you just, oh, you know, and I just picture that's God. He's reaching down. You might not even realize what he's doing. He's pulling you up. That you know how I know he pulled you? Because you're still here. Some of you would maybe not have been. Some of us. He rescued me and he drew me out of deep waters. That's our God. I like this little saying too. Corrie ten Boom again. She gets it twice here, but she says, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Let it click. Think about what she's saying here. Like, and I get it, you know, I'm in trouble. You know, you ever get a flat tire? It's terrible, you know. So, you know what I shouldn't even say that. I was going to give you an illustration, but I'm backing away from it now. But here's the deal. Is that when we call on the Lord? Now something's going wrong? Now the tire's blown? Right? Now it's back on? Okay, we don't need God anymore. Let's go on with our life. Or is it your steering wheel? Lord, what do you want me to do next? Lord, do you want me to talk to this person? Lord, will you show me what to do here? How do you want me to say this? How, God, what should we do next? Lord, in this situation, would you help me to be patient here? Would you help me? I'm so angry I could just burst. God, show me, give me, reveal things to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Is it steering your life, your day? What is it for you? Is it the spare tire or is it the steering wheel? Because it'll make a whole difference in your whole life. Honestly, I would even have to say, I'm not being mean here. You're missing out. If you're the spare tire guy or the spare tire girl, God still loves you. But I'm just telling you, you are missing out. I don't want you to miss out. You see what I'm saying? And he doesn't want us just to pray in times of trouble. Listen, you guys know this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 17 says, hey, I want you to rejoice always because, and here's the why, because you can pray continually. Giving thanks in how many situations? For this is whose will for you? Right. He wants us to pray continually. Now, since we have a lot of new people here who are just growing, that doesn't mean like I'm at work in a Walmart and I'm stocking shelves. Okay. That doesn't, and the manager's trying to talk to me and I say, oh, sorry, can't talk to you right now, Mr. Manager. I'm devoted to prayer. Praying right now. That doesn't mean that when you're talking to your husband wants to talk to you, and, honey, sorry, I heard your wife comes in and wants to talk to you. Honey, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm just praying today. Yeah, but I've been wanting to talk to you. I'm just praying. Oh, and tomorrow I'm going to be busy too. Praying, too spiritual. It, you know what I mean? Or if you're having lunch with somebody, it just means in your heart to the Lord. You don't have to say it out loud all the time. You guys know that, right? You're praying in your heart, Lord, bless this person. Help them, encourage them. Help me to understand what to say to them. How do I help them, Lord? Pray continually, every situation, not just in the times of trouble. It says, is anyone happy in the same verse? Let him sing songs of praise. Or some of your translations will say, sing psalms. Either of those are correct interpretation. And you know what? That's interchangeable. Can I just say that? Like that verse 13? You could say, is anyone in trouble? Well, then he should sing songs of praise. Give him a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Lord. It's not my will. Your will be done. You're going to work in this whole situation. See, we're getting a call right now. You could say, is anyone happy? Well, let them pray to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They're almost interchangeable. Well, they are interchangeable. Singing songs of praise and prayer and worship, that's just another way to pray to the Lord. If you're here and you're just singing a song, do you know what I'm saying? Like if you're like just singing kind of like a little robotic song as they're up here leading worship, you're missing... Not being mean in any way. Everybody understands what I'm saying. I'm not trying to attack anybody. I'm just saying you're missing the point. You're speaking it to God. I'm speaking. Sometimes the poor people who sit next to me, I change the words. Because I'm saying it to what this. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm praying to the Lord. Does that make sense? That it's a prayer. I'm worshiping. Listen to this. In Colossians 3:16, speaking to Christians, he says, listen, I want the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, in you, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And he wants you, look at this, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. That's the kind of, you know what, if you're in trouble, sing. If you're going through an enemy attack, you know, or spiritual attack, put on some worship music. Sing to the Lord. It's Colossians 3:16. And I have, somebody remind me. Somebody text me to get a clock because we took the clock down and we have this really nice TV here now. And I don't have no idea what time it is. And I'll just keep talking. 11:57. Really? Sorry, for those of you who are wondering, what I'm doing right now is I'm praying because I really have got so much amazing things to cover. But I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do that. Okay. How can it be noon already? Okay, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of super... Here's what I don't want to have happen. Okay, I don't want to get in this next section because it's so... Oh, can I just go a couple more minutes? Okay, I'm just going to go a couple more minutes and I'm going to leave the next verse. I was at least going to get through two verses. Just let me... Yeah, let me just... Here's a couple quick things for you. Okay, a couple quick things. Ready? And I'm just... If you're here today, please come back next week. Because there's really important stuff, and I want you to understand all of it. It's talking about, you know, prayer and healing and sick. It is so important. There's so many bad teachings out there. It's so important. So, but a couple quick things. You know, a lot of questions get asked in me about prayer. Does it matter how we pray? Like, I remember one time, I really liked Promise Keepers, if any of you guys remember that. And I remember this one time, maybe it was in Washington, D.C., but... This one teacher came out, and I understand his heart, but he said it really bad. He was basically said, listen, if you think you're a Christian and you're praying, you're not really praying unless you're on your knees. Now, I get what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, humble your heart. You know, that's what he was trying to say. You know what I mean? Like, but that's not what he said. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I guess I'm not too spiritual then. I'm just... You know, I'm praying on my face, and I'm standing sometimes. And what do I do here? And am I doing it wrong? And I will tell you one thing that God is interested in. God is more concerned with the position of your heart than He is with the position of your body. Does that make sense? Listen, that's. I'll just read this to you. I'm going to read it in Luke. Chapter 19, 9-4. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm just going to try to read it real quick for time's sake. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right, he says this. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Can you hit the light just for 1 second, Elijah, for me? Thanks. It says, this is in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were, this is Jesus speaking. He says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, that would be like a pastor today, we would say that, or a priest or something. And the other was a tax collector. Now a tax collector was hated amongst the people, okay? They would rip people off, they were kind of considered the low of the low. And he said this, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said to God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And says, Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So God's really wants the position of your heart. By the way, also, he was standing. I won't have time to go into all these, but really quickly, just because everything I say, I want you to know it's biblical, and I want you to give you a Bible reference, okay? So you could be sitting in prayer. First Chronicles 17:16-27, David, when he was praying to the Lord and dedicating the Ark of the Covenant, if I remember correctly, being brought in, he was sitting. It says that he was sitting and praying, standing. We actually just read in that Luke 18:13 verse that he did that. In Mark, it says this. I just want you to know it says about standing and praying. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, I'll just read it to you really quickly because I didn't have time to make a slide. It says this. Jesus was saying, hey, have faith in God. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your heavenly Father may forgive your sins. Bowing down. Moses did that in Exodus 34:8. When they gave him the Ten Commandments, God gave him, he just bowed down to the ground and worshiped and prayed to the Lord. In hands up, okay? In 2 Chronicles, when Solomon was dedicating the temple in chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says that he stood and he was praying to the Lord. And then later he got on his knees. In kneeling, you can read it in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, or in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, folks kneeling and praying to the Lord, or even prostrate before the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26:39, you know, or Mark 14:35, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't matter what position your body is in as much as it does what position your heart is in. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. I think the Lord's kind of telling me, stop. And I guess, okay, I'm just going to stop. There is such richness in the Word of God. He has so much wealth and so much he wants to share with us. Let's just take a minute and pray and thank him. And then, guys, grab a bunch of bread on your way out. And then get directions. We don't have a map or anything. We just didn't have time to do that. So ask somebody who knows how to get to our house. Who knows how to get to our house? Raise your hand. Okay, just a couple. Okay. Ask those people. And if you would like to join us for a baptism, you're welcome to. If not, please don't feel any pressure. Again, we're just going to have some hot dogs. And we're going to baptize some people who want to do that. So let's just pray. Father, I just want to say thank you for every person here, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would just stir us up, Lord, that our relationship with you would be so intimate and close. You would draw us so close, Lord, that we would be praying to you continually, Lord. And not just talking, but listening. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today, Lord. You had a purpose and a plan for being them here today, Lord God, for them being here today, Lord. Help them to develop an attitude, a heart of prayer in every situation, Lord God, but trusting in you. Instead of grumbling about our brothers and grumbling about our situation and complaining, help us to cast our burdens on you because you care for us, Lord God. Lord, help us to be a good witness, patient, loving and true, and to make our investments in the things of eternity, not in the things of this earth that are going to burn, Lord. Bless these people with hearts on fire for you, Lord. Stir them up, Lord, to love and good deeds. Heat them up, Lord. We ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. We'll see you at the house for the baptism if you want to come.